Our scripture this morning is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're winding down. I tried my best. I kind of promised you maybe last Sunday that it would be finishing Ecclesiastes today, but I couldn't squeeze it in. Just too much there. So I'd like to have Larry, if he'd read the first 8 verses there, I appreciate it.
Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim when the doors to the street are closed and the sounds of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When all men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along. And desire is no longer is stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home, and mortars go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, say the teacher, everything is meaningless. Bless these words.
Okay. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Lord, for those words. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come on bended knee this morning, humbly asking you to touch our hearts, open our hearts to your truth. We can think of no passage of Scripture more fitting for this congregation this morning than what's before us. So we pray, Lord, that we can dive in and come out the other side with more wisdom, with more understanding, with more knowledge in why we are here and what the difficulties are in being here and what the answer for all that is. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible tells many things about time. Life is brief. Life is fragile. Here in Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon tells us that time does not automatically exist. It just didn't start. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. As with the rest of creation, time was dependent on God's creation for its beginning. When He began to create the universe, only then did the passing of time begin.
Amen.
God is from everlasting to everlasting. Scripture calls us to face this brevity of life. It says here, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I think there's a practical way to phrase that might have more meaning for us. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator while you can. While you can.
Amen.
Another way to look at this word remember, too, has a special meaning, really, is to the fact of remember means to know your Creator. Know Him. Love Him. Serve Him. As your greatest joy. And when should we do this? It tells us here, in the days of our youth, while we still have a chance. I like the new Living Translation for this verse. Honor him and your youth before you grow old and say life is not pleasant anymore. Mm-hmm. Life is not pleasant anymore. Better to remember now than to spend eternity with regret. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning a little bit. I was thinking as I was preparing the message, certain things that happened in my life that had quite an impression. And some of them are very vivid for me today. I can remember, for example, when Jan gave birth to Luke, or Jake, her first child. And I remember it was a big deal. Doc Davis was their doctor. And I even took a shower to go in the delivery room with the doctor. And I went in there, and it started. And I'll never forget, as Jake came out of the womb, he was blue. And I about passed out. I thought, well, something has gone wrong. But what an impression that was. That is truly a miracle. I don't know how many folks I know, I don't know how many of you have seen your children born, but it is absolutely a miracle. And that's something that I'll never forget in my life. But you know, looking back, I don't think I turned around and saw my son there and said, I don't think I said, thank you, God. Thank you for this son. And I regret that. You know, we have to take advantage, don't we, when we have an opportunity.
Amen.
And we're presented with them every day. And once you bypass that, it's gone forever. You can't have it back. So it's a kind of a strange feeling. This encouragement to remember your Creator is a common theme in Scripture. Back in chapter 11, verse 5, it says, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in your mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. In the Psalms, Psalm 139, verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And then it's interesting, I think, when we go to the book of Acts and we get to chapter 17, and Paul is on a missionary journey and he goes to Athens. And Athens is probably the city with the most intelligence. All the philosophers, the educated people are there, and he goes to speak to them, and it's interesting what the Apostle Paul has to say to probably the most intelligent people of his day in Athens. Let me just go to that. It's Acts 17. You know, if I were in Paul's shoes and I was getting an opportunity to speak in front of this highly intelligent crowd, I'd be shaking in my boots. But not Brother Paul. Listen to how he puts it to him. Starting in verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way, you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. It's like they were covering all their bases, weren't they? Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them, and the exact places where they should live. You ever think about that? You ever think about that, Larry, that God put you just over the hill down here on that piece of ground? Yeah. The longer we live, the more we experience life's frailties.
Amen.
And that's what verses 2 through 5 is all about here. It speaks of this decline of our physical power and our mental quickness, sharpness. The picture of our downhill move into old age. Now, I think Scripture has a lot of comedy in it and a lot of humor. And these few verses here, I think, are filled with it. And I hope you can see the humor with me. Verse 12. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. Isn't that a depressing sight? You're looking out, it's like, where's the sun? Everything is dim. And I think that speaks to our tendency to grow negative in our thoughts the older we get. Not everybody, but all of us. We turn to get negative. Our mental awareness is growing old. We become maybe a little more pessimistic, less joyful. Verse 3. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. Yeah. Anybody's grinders? Anybody losing any grinders out there?
Mine's about gone.
About gone. I've lost three. And so what I have to do, as a result of that, I have to chew my food longer. Losing our teeth, our grinders, is a sign of getting older. Our health begins to fail, and we have this, and I don't mean this to be in any detrimental way at all, but there was an old surgeon in the county by the name of John Trenton. I don't know how many of you remember him, but he was stooped over all the time. He had poor posture. In fact, we have a joke around the house: when somebody's not standing up straight, we say, "Straighten up, Trenton." And even our grandson hooked onto that. He's been telling everybody to straighten up. But that's what happened to us, don't we? We bend over, we go to the doctor, and they put us on the scale, and we weigh a little less. That thing they put on top of her head said, down a little bit, we've maybe lost a half an inch, and we shrink. We can't carry what we used to carry. I can remember, and you guys that are in the farming business, you know, carried 100-pound bags plus over and over again. I couldn't even, it would scare me to death, pick up one end of that now. Our grinders cease. We start losing our teeth. It takes longer to chew our food. And things grow dim. As we look out the window, our vision becomes impaired. You know, don't we?
Amen.
We bring out the glasses. Then verse 4. When the doors of the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. This is the hustle and bustle that's going on in town. And we can't hear it anymore. We can't hear the traffic. We can't hear the noises that are made out in the barnyard as well, and so forth. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. You know, it's not the problem of laying in half the morning, because we're all up, but we just can't hear the birds like we used to.
Amen.
Verse 4, I think, too, talks about becoming less mobile. We become less mobile. And that goes along with the fact that we're not hearing as well. Verse 5, when men are afraid of heights and the dangers of the street. And I don't know how many of you women out there have said to your husband, whatever you do, you stay off the ladder. I don't want you up on the ladder anymore. I've heard that many times. But we're afraid of heights. I used to be able to, you know, go up on the roof and not worry about it anymore. It's a lot different. It's a lot different.
Amen.
Yeah. And, you know, we become less secure as we travel. I don't know how many of you folks have experienced this. I used to be able to get in the car, and I've done it two or three times, just driven to San Diego and back. Not stop, you know, just to get gas. And I remember when we were going to Washington, D.C. for a wedding, I couldn't sleep. I was worrying about it so much. How am I going to get there? And had all the everything printed out, how to get there and everything, but you're just not so secure as you once were. How about your trips to Florida, Marla? You still...
It's 1,002 miles between one place and the other. Yeah. If it's a good day, it's 16 hours. The other day, it was 17 and a half.
Well, you're younger, I can tell. I can tell. It hasn't affected you yet.
But it's getting harder.
Yeah. And I love this. Almond trees blossom. What do you think that means? When the almond trees blossom. Any ideas? Hair turns white, doesn't it? Or turns gray. That's what here, the almond tree blossoms. In other words, the blossom comes out and it's white. And that's our hair changing color. Grasshoppers drag himself along. It's kind of like that first move real early in the morning to go to the mailbox to get the morning paper. And you just kind of limp along to get down there. You haven't been up long enough to loosen up yet. So you just kind of limp along like a grasshopper. I play 18 holes of golf, and that's the way I get into my truck. I kind of limp in. I've had it. You know, I'm wore out. And, of course, desire no longer is stirred.
Amen.
Eventually, everything shuts down, and we go to our eternal home. And this is the picture, I think, in 2 Samuel, verse 19. What's going on here? King David has asked Barzillai to go up to the city of Jerusalem with him. And he's got some age on him. He's an older man. But listen to what he has to say. Starting in verse 32, now Barzillai was a very old man, 80 years of age. Not very old anymore, is it, Claude?
Hey.
80 years old. He had provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim, and he was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, cross over with me and stay with me in Jerusalem, and I will provide for you. But Barzillai answered the king, how many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is good and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of men and women, singers? In other words, I'm not what I once was, is what he told the king. I'm not what I once was before the days of trouble come.
Amen.
Before the days of trouble come. Now, verse 6 is all about passing on. The silver cord severed. Golden bowl is broken. The pitcher shattered at the spring. All these, this imagery is, really comes home to us. I have a spring. I know what a pitcher at a spring looks like. I know what a wheel looks like on the well when you bring the bucket up. That is broken. And the dust returns to the ground from where it came from. Spirit returns to God who gave it. In other words, these are all expressions saying before the days of trouble come to pass. In other words, until we pass away. Until we pass away. This reminds us that there will be one last time for routine tasks. You know, I'll get out of my truck on the driver's side one last time. I'll tell my wife that I love her one last time. I'll hear that story that's absolutely unbelievable from a little grandson that he's made up one last time. Now, verse 8 oughtn't to be any shock to us because we've heard it now for 11 chapters. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. And, of course, that's the way it is under the sun. Now, the first 11 and a half chapters in Ecclesiastes has talking about he has taken us down these dead-end streets. You remember what some of them were? These situations we have in the life here on earth. The road to intelligence. The road to pleasure. The road to materialism. The road to self-dependency. Folly and sin. The sad situation of becoming a workaholic. The poor use of our time. Injustice in the world, searching for wisdom in all the wrong places. These are all the dead-end streets that we've heard about for 11 chapters here on earth, under the sun. And then we come to chapter 12. Someone once told me, and I think it was Mary Jane Smittle back in our little church in the Wetzel Settlement at Beatty. She told me something like this. She told me that I'll never, or anybody, can't fully appreciate the grace and love that fills the New Testament until its preparation for that is found in the Old Testament with its wisdom and reality. You can't fully appreciate the New Testament until you first have the old. It sweetens it.
Amen.
It makes it more livid, and you appreciate it more. I think that's the same way that we can look at Ecclesiastes. We cannot reap the unbelievable promises and joy found in the second half, which we're going to cover next week in chapter 12. We can't appreciate that. We can't reap the benefit from that until we come face to face with the fact that life is brief and it is absolutely worthless if it's lived without our Creator.
Amen.
It's worthless. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And here's a quote from John Piper. It says God created us to live with a single passion, to joyfully display His supreme excellence in all the spheres of life. The wasted life is the life without this passion. God calls us to pray and think and dream and plan and work, not to be made much of, but to make much of Him in every part of our lives. We are put here to honor God. Now, what Solomon is saying in verse 7 is that sin has entered into the world, and we know it did, don't we, in Genesis chapter 3, when they ate the apple. God comes and says, on account of sin, from dust you came, and from dust you will return. And He's already said in previous chapters that God made everything perfect, and man has made crooked and cannot straighten what he has made a mess of. That was in the very first chapter in Ecclesiastes here. He says, what is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. God made everything perfect, and man has mucked it all up.
Amen.
Solomon has spent 11 and a half chapters showing us the wastefulness of life without a dependence on God. Now that we're all joyful and feel real great about getting older, there's good news. We're not dead yet.
Amen.
Are we? We haven't passed away. Someone once said, death has not yet reached out to us, so let it rattle its chains to stir us into action. Let me read that again. Death has not yet reached out to us, so let it rattle its chains and stir us into action.
Amen.
So it is a day of opportunity. You know, we have folks who spend all their Sundays in church listening to the claims of the Bible, the work God is doing on their behalf, the sending of His Son Jesus as Savior who has brought light into darkness, and still they do not believe. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have patience on our servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to your children. And listen to this, verse 17. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Without divine grace, we are so foolish a people, just chasing the wind. Now, in closing, part of the process of getting older is not having your hair color change, but losing your hair. And this area back here on the back of my head right now is starting to burn because of that sun. But we can be pretty sure, can't we? that we won't remember this message being brought forward at Pleasant Grove Church on August 29th, 2021. In fact, a month from now, we won't remember. If someone were to ask you what the scripture was, we probably wouldn't know. But it is of utmost importance that we do realize that God, by His Word, on the fifth Sunday in August in 2021, didn't ask us to do something that was really difficult. You know, He didn't ask us to go to Afghanistan as a missionary. He didn't ask us to feed all the hungry. He didn't ask us to fast for a week so that we can plant a new church. On the fifth Sunday in August 2021, the Word of God came to this congregation at Pleasant Grove with a simple request. Remember me while you still have the opportunity. Remember me.
Amen.
So have we set ourselves aside, given all of our life and all of our future and all of our opportunities to God? We need to ask ourselves that today. Now, it's always now in the Bible. Now is the expected time. Paul says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for this day of opportunity. We owe our life to you. Forgive our foolishness and help us trust you. We want to offer our best to you from now on, all the life we have left. May the love of Jesus draw us to him. May the peace of Jesus guard our minds. May the joy of Jesus fill our lives. And may the grace, mercy, and peace from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon us and remain with each one today and all the days of life that you give us. Until Jesus comes or calls us to himself. And then forevermore. Amen. And now a very appropriate song, because we're going to eat, come and dine. If you'll turn to, see, what is the number?
146.
And you know, I often wonder about this, if, you know, God knows everyone's heart here, I don't. And I've often wondered, you know, if there are times when I should have maybe offered to sit down with somebody if they had questions about their faith, about salvation, what it means, what they need to do, how involved we need to be. I've often wondered if maybe I shouldn't have extended that invitation. You know, I can remember coming up in the old country church back home. You know, the thing was you had to go to the altar. You had to have an altar call. You had to go to the altar. And I don't think that's the case. It's fine to do. But you can sit in your seat and cry out to the Lord.
Amen.
And give your heart to him. But if there is a time when you have questions or something that you want to discuss, now I want to make myself available for that and be led by the Spirit. And there's others here that can do it as well. We don't want anybody out there to have a question about this idea of the gospel. And that's one reason that our next book of study, starting in 2 or 3 weeks, will be the book of Galatians. And if you don't understand the gospel message after us giving that book an overhaul, then it's your fault. Because the Holy Spirit will open up things that you will see, and we'll all learn a lot from it. So just keep that in mind. Okay, what is the
146.
Yeah, come and dine. Now remember, we're going to eat. So I guess we're going to, some of the men would help me, maybe we get some tables moved over here, and we'll eat over here in the shade, okay? Instead of going downstairs. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he does feed and supplies our every need. Oh, tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, those obeying Christ's command. For the Master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white. And with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.